Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Time now for the Brian Barrett Show on EEI.
Cam was having a little fun the other day. You might have been aware of it. Slipped in a little Doughboy reference.
Trade Kevin Pillar. Trade Mitch Moreland.
It's all right. We got it. We got to stay positive, though, man. That's what we can't do. You know, just staying negative is just going to make it worse. So we probably got the hardest part down. That's all we got. Yeah. And then you psych yourself up. Let's go.
All right, well, welcome in.
Another loss for the Red Sox, not surprising. Tonight at the hands of the Nationals, 10-2, and the Red Sox are now 10-22 on the season after this one tonight. And the thing about this game in particular tonight is we all know where this team is going. We all know they're one of the worst teams in the entire sport, really, outside of the Pittsburgh Pirates. There's nobody worse than the Red Sox right now. We understand where the team's at. But what is deflating about a game like tonight is when you get to the third inning of the ball game, you already know what the result's going to be. Because it's 5-0 at that point. Martin Perez gets banged around. And on the other side of things, you have, and I get he's not having the typical Max Scherzer season, but you have one of the best pitchers in the sport for the past decade. A guy that's won a Cy Young in both leagues. A guy that was just on a World Series team a year ago, and we saw it. So at least that was the entertaining part of the game, as you saw a dominant pitcher on the other side in Max Scherzer. But the thing that sucked about watching tonight's game is you knew the Red Sox had no chance at winning it whatsoever once they go up 5-0 in that third inning. 617-779-7937, the number if you want to join us. I'm with you up until midnight this evening after this loss for the Red Sox. And by the way, some breaking news tonight in the world of entertainment, as the year 2020 continues to get worse and worse and worse. Chadwick Boseman passed away today. Chadwick Boseman, of course, played Jackie Robinson, and this is Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball, played Jackie Robinson in the movie 42. Unbelievable actor, of course. He was in most famous for his role in Black Panther. And, of course, as I mentioned, 42. He's in a ton of stuff. He played James Brown in Get On Up in 2014, was nominated for an Oscar, I believe, for that film. Was in a bunch of the Avengers movies as well. Defy Bloods with, that was a movie by Spike Lee, of course. 21 Bridges recently. So he was diagnosed with colon cancer in 2016. And he has been acting through all this since 2016. He was scheduled to do Black Panther 2. So through this whole time, for 4 years, this guy has been one of the great actors in the business, and he's been dealing with colon cancer the entire time, which makes what he was doing on screen even more impressive. But it's just incredible that this year, you think about it, Kobe Bryant passed away. We have a global pandemic going on, social unrest in the country. And now tonight, the news that on Jackie Robinson Day in Major League Baseball, where you see everybody wearing the number 42, the guy that played him in the movie 42 passed away. So terrible news. And it was something that I don't want to say came out of nowhere. Maybe some people in Hollywood knew this, but I had no idea that he was battling colon cancer. And quite frankly, most people, if you look at the reactions on social media, nobody knew that he was going through what he has been going through over the past 4 years. So just incredibly sad news today coming out of Hollywood. And as I mentioned, 2020, man, I cannot wait. I'm not a New Year's guy, but I cannot wait until we get to 2021, because this year has just been a gut punch in so many different ways. And this is just another example of it in terms of what happened with Chadwick Boseman, who tragically passed away in his young 40s. And it felt like, not that his career was just getting started in the acting business, if you will, in Hollywood, but he was one of the premier actors in the world right now. He's one of the top leading men. He's been in some unbelievable films, like, as we mentioned, Black Panther, 42, all these movies that he's been in. And it felt like it was just going to get better and better and better for Chadwick Boseman, and unfortunately passed away after the battle with colon cancer. Felt like he had so much more to do in terms of his ability to act. Not to say that he didn't already accomplish a ton in his life, but unfortunately passes away today on Jackie Robinson Day. All right, Brian Barrett with you up until midnight. I did want to get back to the Red Sox real quickly here, because if you think about this team right now, these next few days will actually be the most interesting days of the season for the Red Sox. Now, I guess you can go back to the beginning of the season and say, hey, you were interested when finally, after the COVID-19 world we've been living in for months now, finally we got some baseball and you were entertained by the possibility of what the Red Sox are going to be this year and opening day and the first couple of days of the season. Fine, maybe you are more excited for that, but this is the most excited part of the Red Sox season, is what are they actually going to do at the trading deadline? And one thing that didn't help the Red Sox tonight was the performance of Martin Perez, because he got absolutely knocked around tonight. After putting together some really good starts, he gets knocked around against a team that has a pretty good lineup, which if you're a contender right now, you're looking at the start and saying, wow, 4 innings, 8 hits, 6 earned runs. He gives up 2 home runs. I'm not telling you that these teams that were considering Martin Perez are just saying, hey, there's no chance we're going to sign the guy now, considering he had a bad start in tonight's game. But when you look at it in totality, he's never been a great pitcher, and he came into tonight a 3.45 ERA, which looks good, a 1.181 whip, which is really good. And if you look at the contract, it's very manageable, considering the fact that he's on a 1-year deal with a team option for next year at $6.2 million, which isn't very expensive. And now you look at it, well, if you're another team, you're probably like, well, what happened in that last start for Martin Perez? But I would say this about Perez. If you can't move him at the deadline, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, really. And I get this as a fire sale for this Red Sox team. And we've already seen Brandon Workman and Heath Embry been traded to the Philadelphia Phillies. But I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if Martin Perez is a member of the Red Sox next season. Because if you look at it, and Rob Bradford mentioned this today on the pregame show, a guy that's similar to Martin Perez in terms of the numbers coming in tonight, Taijuan Walker from the Mariners, had an ERA around 4, 1.074 whip. And you look at what the Blue Jays got for him, it was a player to be named later, which, and Rob laid this out, that basically means that it's a guy that wasn't in the 60 player pool. So it's somebody that isn't even with that organization right now. So it's not as if you're going to get a whole lot back for Martin Perez to begin with. And if you look at this Red Sox team entering 2021, the assumption is that they're going to be significantly more competitive than they were this season. I'm not telling you that they're going to be contenders to win the World Series, but they're going to be a lot better than they were this year. You would hope, at least on paper, you should be, considering the fact that Eduardo Rodriguez is going to come back. At some point, you're going to get Chris Sale. But the reason I say I don't think it's a big loss if you're not able to move on from Martin Perez is he's actually been, outside of tonight in the first start against the Orioles, he's been pretty good this season. He's been a decent pitcher. And when you look at the rotation next year, you don't know exactly when you're going to get Chris Sale back from the Tommy John surgery. You would assume somewhere in the middle of the summer you'd get him back. And even then, what is he going to look like when he gets onto the mound? Is he going to be the Chris Sale of old? You don't know. That's a wild card right now in terms of when exactly you get him back and what pitcher you're going to get. I know a lot of guys have been better when they come back from Tommy John, but we don't know exactly. We can't guarantee what Chris Sale is going to be. Nathan Eovaldi is somebody that is routinely hurt. Right now he's dealing with, what, calf cramps. I know he's scheduled to pitch on Sunday, but he was scratched from his last start. We all know last year he was dealing with a bunch of different issues in terms of when he was on the mound, he was ineffective. And before that, prior to that, he needed to get surgery for the second consecutive year to remove loose bodies from his elbow. Now, I understand that the year prior he had that procedure when he was in Tampa, but just to point out, the guy's had multiple Tommy John surgeries, and he dealt with elbow issues last year. When he's been on the mound this season, he has not been great. He can't get through the lineup the third time. So you can't guarantee me that Nathan Eovaldi is going to be a solid starter for you in 2021. So at the very least, Martin Perez has proven this year. Now, tonight, notwithstanding, because he only went four innings, but for the most part, he can be a back end of the rotation guy for you. So I don't have a big issue if they don't move on from Martin Perez at the deadline, because I think there are still a lot of question marks with this rotation entering next year. And quite frankly, I don't really enjoy the long bullpen games. I'm sorry, I don't enjoy the bullpen games, because the Red Sox, when they have the bullpen games, they haven't been very successful in said bullpen games. So I don't have an issue having a guy that can give you five, six innings when he goes out to the mound every fifth day. That's something that I actually enjoy watching, other than the bullpen games that we've been accustomed to watching each and every time it seems like we watch the Red Sox this season. So I would not be opposed to that. I know you have in-house candidates to come in and start next year in terms of the guys. For example, you picked up Nick Pivetta in the Workman deal. Connor Siebold, it seems like, still a younger player. We'll see when he's eventually going to get his opportunity with the big club, but the Tanner Houck's of the world, the Brian Mottas of the world. You're going to get other guys internally that get opportunities, but I feel like Martin Perez, that was a good find for Chaim Bloom in this organization. You got a decent amount out of the player. I wouldn't mind keeping him around for another year, especially considering it's not a whole lot of money, $6.2 million. And if you are in the same position you are next year, I'm not saying the worst team in the American League, but if you're at a spot next year at the deadline and Martin Perez is pitching pretty well, maybe you deal him then. But I'm not in a position where I would be pissed off if Martin Perez is still a member of this organization after the deadline. In fact, I would actually advocate for him being here, because at least you got somebody that can eat up innings, and the return's not going to be great for the player. By the way, The Athletic is reporting that the Astros inquired about Matt Barnes. Now, he's under club control through the 2021 season, and this is all important because the deadline is just a couple of days away here. So The Athletic reporting the Astros are interested in Barnes, and if you look at Barnes's numbers, not pretty this year, an ERA of 6, 1.6 whip, which is horrible, 9 walks in 12 innings. But here's the thing about the Astros, which is interesting. Brent Strom is the pitching coach there. And Strom's had a lot of success. Remember, when they traded for Justin Verlander from the Tigers, Verlander's curveball got significantly better when he went over to the Astros. Not to mention, he actually picked up velocity on his fastball. Same thing with Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole's final year in Pittsburgh was actually a down year. He gets to Houston, and he has the best seasons of his career. Last year, in my mind, he should have won the Cy Young over his teammate Justin Verlander, and we all saw what he did in the postseason, and we all know what the Yankees gave him in terms of the money. Whole lot of money for Gerrit Cole. So what they may look at with Matt Barnes is they may say to themselves, okay, this dude throws 95 miles an hour. He's got a good curveball. Now, he doesn't throw it for strikes a whole lot, but he throws 95. Maybe we get him into our organization, and we've done it with other pitchers in the past. I'm not comparing Matt Barnes to Gerrit Cole or Justin Verlander. I'm saying that at all. I'm just telling you that they've picked up pitchers in the past that have struggled at times, and they've been able to fix them. Maybe that's what the Astros look at with Matt Barnes. And for me, I'd love this team to move on from Matt Barnes. Hopefully you can get something in the Astros farm system, but I can't watch him every night. I mean, geez, throw the ball. When that guy's on the mound, it's like, geez, how much longer do you need in between pitches? So in my mind, he's not part of the next great Red Sox team to begin with, and I feel like that should be kind of the measuring stick for Chaim Bloom and this organization when they're making moves. And I know you could say, well, Brian, Martin Perez isn't part of the next great Red Sox team. Yeah, but you do need guys to eat up innings next year. You do. You're going to need that. With Matt Barnes, he gives you an inning at most, and we saw last year. The guy was overrated as a reliever in terms of, remember last year, back-to-back days, had an ERA over 6, so he can't go back-to-back days. He's a head case on the mound. He can't throw his curveball for strikes. He walks the ballpark at times. So in my mind, I don't believe that Matt Barnes, who's only under club control for this year and next year, because he goes into his third year of arbitration, I don't think it's worth the Red Sox keeping him around. And for my own sanity, it'd be worth seeing them move on from Matt Barnes, because the guy takes forever to throw a pitch. And look, he was great in 18, No doubt about that. In the postseason run in 18, he was really, really good. Last year, he was good at the beginning of the season. But as the season went on, you found out, okay, he can't hold up for the entirety of the season as a high leverage guy, so to speak. So you got what you could out of the player. Now find out what you can get for him in the open market. And as I mentioned, the Astros are really interested, according to The Athletic. Now, The Athletic is also reporting that the Rays have interest in Christian Vasquez. He's under contract through 2021 with a club option at $7 million in 2022. That's a really good contract. Hey, give Dave Dombrowski credit. There's a lot of bad contracts this guy signed. This is a good contract that Vasquez got. I don't want to make this an indictment on Dave Dombrowski. I'm just saying, we got a lot of contracts that you're looking at right now as a Red Sox fan. You're saying, "Hold crap, Nathan Eovaldi, $17 million next year, $17 million the year after that. Sale coming off Tommy John, the $145 million man." There's some bad contracts, right? You look at Vasquez, that's a good contract. So apparently, according to The Athletic, the Rays are interested. Vasquez was asked about this earlier in the week. He said, "I think it's going to be sad if I left Boston because all my career was here. From 2008, a young kid, I've been here. Only one organization and my goal is to retire here." Now, here's the thing. Nobody knows the Rays system better than the guy that is now the GM of the Red Sox, Chaim Bloom. So Chaim Bloom knows the system very, very well. You think about this as well. Chris Smith from Mass Live pointed out that Baseball America has the Rays farm system ranked as the best in the entire sport. And if they're desperate for a catcher, which they are, they're not getting any production out of their catcher right now in terms of the platoon they're going with. Zunino does not hit the ball whatsoever. So if you look at it, they may say, "All right, this is the guy for the next 2 years for us. He's got a little bit of pop. We've seen that over the past few years." This may be the time, if you're the Red Sox, to move on from Vasquez, considering in August he's been horrible. 234 in terms of his average, and he's got a 557 OPS, no home runs. He had that great start to the season, but he's really tailed off. And really the shocking part about Vasquez is you think of him as a young player in a way. He's already 30 years old. And if you look at that Rays system, Chris Smith pointed out all these pitchers that are top 10 prospects in their organization. Brandon McKay, Shane Baz, Brent Honeywell, Shane McClanahan, Nick Bitsko, Joe Wright. So they got a ton of guys in their system that are great pitchers, like in terms of young prospects. Now, maybe they turn out to be something great, maybe they don't, but they are really good prospects. So if Chaim Bloom can get a starting pitching prospect for Christian Vasquez at this point in time, I would say you do it in a heartbeat. So my prediction is that you're going to see Barnes for sure gone by the trading deadline. The big one, of course, and if you can get something in the Rays system, if you're Chaim Bloom, go ahead and do it for Christian Vasquez. But the big one is going to be J.D. Martinez. And quite frankly, when I look at J.D. right now, I just don't know how a team would want to trade for him. He's hitting 205, and it's not as if you can bet on what he's done in the past, because he's still, and he's made it abundantly clear, not having the ability to go to the monitor and look at the video in between innings has clearly impacted him. The numbers clearly tell you that. This is one of the best sluggers in baseball the past 3 years. He's hitting 205 this year. So when you look at it from that perspective, if you're a contending team, you can't bet on the track record, not to mention the fact that he has an opt-out. But when I reference the track record, you can't say, "Oh, yeah, you know what, it's just a blip on the radar. He's going to get it going." How do you know that if J.D. Martinez is such a creature of habit? He has this habit of looking, or not this habit, but he's got this thing that he does where he's got to look at his at-bats in between innings. He doesn't have the luxury to be able to do that this year because of all the COVID-19 protocols. So you can't just bank on the fact that, hey, when we get him in our organization, he'll be fine. You can't bank on that, not to mention the fact that you may just be renting him for a very short time because he has an opt-out after the season. So J.D. Martinez, it feels like that value that you thought maybe you could have gotten for J.D. Martinez at the deadline, not going to be there. All right, 617-779-7937, the number. Brian Barrett with you. Until midnight, if you want to weigh in on the Red Sox, what do you expect Chaim Bloom to do at the deadline? Do you want him to move on from Matt Barnes and Christian Vasquez at the deadline? Are you just in sell, sell, sell mode like personally I am right now? Try to recoup what you can in terms of getting value and injecting young talent into the farm system. I believe the Workman Embry deal was just the start of this. We're going to see a lot more guys on this Red Sox roster moved by the trading deadline. Do you advocate them going all in and getting rid of these guys and trying to figure out what you can do long term? And do you advocate for a long term rebuild? Are you okay with the Red Sox not being good again next year if they are looking to improve their farm system. Are you all right with this idea for a second consecutive season where you know going into the year the team's not going to be a contender? All right. I also want to get to the Patriots. So there is a development at Patriots training camp that is not good. It is not good. We'll get to it next here on WEI.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We're right back to it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
All right, I'm with you up until midnight tonight. By the way, some big news in baseball. And I'm not referring to the bubble that's being reported now. Apparently, they're interested in, for the playoffs, it looks like there's going to be bubbles so that you don't have COVID-19 outbreaks, etc. But the Red Sox don't have to worry about the playoffs. They won't be there. But how about this? Alex Rodriguez and J-Lo, they're out. Not buying the Mets after all. J-Lo said in a statement, "Alex and I are so disappointed. We worked so hard the past 6 months with the dream of becoming the first minority couple and the first woman owner to buy her father's favorite major league team and her own hard-earned money. We still haven't given up." So apparently, A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez are out. They're not going to buy the Mets after all. That team is a mess right now, the absolute mess. The Mets, they've been a mess for years, but it would have been interesting to see A-Rod and J-Lo own a team, but apparently that was not in the cards. This is what I'm interested in, though, from Red Sox fans, is are you willing to give Chaim Bloom time to rebuild the farm system and rebuild the organization? Are you okay with this team not being a contender for a couple of years? And I'm also interested in, is ownership going to let him do that, right? Because, okay, ownership can say when they bring in Chaim Bloom, we're going to let him do his thing. We're going to let him rebuild the farm system. We're going to try to make this team sustainable for a long period of time in terms of winning at a high level, having opportunities to win each and every year for a significant amount of time. But that's going to take a couple of bad years to rebuild that farm system. I'm not so sure that ownership's going to be on board with that. They may say it now, but what happens when the Red Sox have another bad year and there's a bunch of free agents out there and the Red Sox have money after the CBT resets and they say, yeah, we got the money, let's go after some of these big-name free agents, etc. And we saw what the Red Sox did when they signed all these big guys. They got themselves in financial trouble. Now, this ownership group has given this fan base four World Series, more than anybody else since the turn of the century, right? So me, I'm okay with if the Red Sox want to handle this the way the Dodgers did with Andrew Friedman, who, remember, was hired from Tampa Bay. They gave him time to rebuild the organization. He rebuilt the farm system. They didn't make a bunch of splashy moves. Even the Manny Machado deal, they didn't give up a whole lot for that. And now, because they were so smart with who they signed and who they didn't sign, they were able to make the big deal for Mookie Betts, and they developed a lot of their own players internally. Think about the Stars and the Dodgers. They've built up that system in terms of through their farm system, right? And they've made smart deals at the right time because they had excess in their farm system in certain areas, so to speak. So they were able to do big moves like the Mookie trade, like Machado at the deadline, because they had extra guys. They had extra prospects. That's where I'd like to see the Red Sox get to, where, okay, now we can spend the money when we want to because we have enough talent in the farm system. So I'm wondering if ownership's actually going to give Chaim Bloom that time, because Right now, it looks like everybody's on the same page. They're rebuilding, etc. But I'm telling you, this ownership group's going to be like, wait, hold on, we're going to be bad again? And are they going to be able to say, all right, Heim, we'll let you go with your vision? Because if you hire a guy like Heim Bloom, it's not like hiring Dave Dombrowski. And Dombrowski was really good at what they asked him to do, which was building World Series teams. He was able to do it. They told him to go win a World Series. He spent the money. He made trades, the Chris Sale trade, the Craig Kimbrell trade. He was able to do it. Not to mention identifying guys like Steve Pierce to play a role in this team. He was able to build a World Series contending team with the money and with the assets he had. And at the time when he came here, a good farm system. But now when you hire Heim Bloom, that's not how he operates. So will ownership actually give him the time? 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Wally in Fall River. What's up, Wally?
Yeah, what's up, Brian? No, Heim Bloom has a lot of holes to fill. I mean, too many holes to, you know, you're going to have a couple of rebuild years. It's easier said than done to find good pitchers. I mean, they made mistakes with Chris Sale, LaValle, even Steve Pierce. They gave him $8 million and he hardly played. But you look at this pitching staff, how it just seems to have disintegrated from a couple of years ago. You got guys you never heard of, but this pitching staff is brutal. I mean, I followed these guys in 61. We had some bad pitching stats, but I don't think any as bad as this one.
Yeah, I mean, Wally, really, if you think about it, the guy on the mound tonight, Martin Perez, has been your best starter for the majority of the season. If you compare his numbers with Nathan Eovaldi, he's actually been better. And Eovaldi now dealing with cramps this week, had to get scratched from a start. Now, he is going to pitch on Sunday, but that's been your best starter. And he's really, at best, a 4-5 guy in your rotation. So it really has been an atrocious pitching staff. But I bring up the point, Wally, you said you've been following this team since 61. Would you be okay with a longer rebuild than we're accustomed to as Red Sox fans?
I think we have no choice because, like I said, you got two building blocks and they're not pitchers. You got Devers and Bogaerts. Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as the pitching, acquiring pitching is going to be hard, too, because everybody's looking for good, cheap pitching. I mean, you look at what the Yankees gave Gerrit Cole. There's no guarantee. I think they gave him 10 years. There's no guarantee he's going to be good for 10 years. They'll be lucky if they get 5 or 6 years. But pitching's hard to good pitching. You know, reliable pitching is hard to come by nowadays with all these arm injuries. And I think you know what I'm trying to get at, Brian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Wally, appreciate the call as always. His line's open if you want to grab it at 617-779-7937. That's the interesting thing is, all right, so it's not as if you're in a situation right now where you have this great farm system. I know it's better than where it was a year ago, but when you're looking at where the Red Sox are at, this is your opportunity to try to get some young pitching. That's why I love the Workman Hembree deal, because if you think about what the Red Sox brought back, they brought back Connor Siebold, who has really outstanding minor league numbers, even in AA as well. He walks nobody. Great numbers. So even if Connor Siebold doesn't have the ceiling to be a number one, number two starter in your rotation, we're now finding out how important the third guy, the fourth guy, the fifth guy in your rotation are. So you get one guy with good numbers who's a good pitcher at the minor league level who's only 23 years old. All right, so if you got rid of Workman, who in my mind was never going to be this unbelievable closer. I get his numbers say he's been really good the past 2 years, but remember, his first opportunity with the Phillies blew the save and picked up the loss. He was playing with fire all last year. He walked 45 guys in 71 innings. I never thought he was a great closer. Like, with a closer, you have to feel comfortable, right? When they come into the game, you say, all right, like with Koji, with Papelbon, when those guys came into the game, and for the most part with Kimbrell until you got to the postseason in 18, when those guys came in, you felt like, all right, game's over. I never felt that way with Workman. It was always an adventure with that guy. So if Connor Siebold turns out to be a starter for Brandon Workman, that is a win. Or if Nick Pivetta, the other guy they picked up, and Pivetta's issue is his numbers are not great at the major league level. He has really good stuff. He has a good fastball and a really good curveball as well. The thing with Pivetta is he has the traits. It's just, okay, can we get him here internally and figure out what's wrong with him, why he wasn't producing, and improve the player's performance on the field? So you took a shot at a guy, high-end talent in Pivetta, and a guy that maybe the talent isn't as great, but has great minor league numbers, has been consistent throughout his minor league career. So you took a shot on two guys. If either one of those guys ends up being a starter in the Red Sox rotation, this is a slam dunk trade for Heim Bloom. So that's why these next couple of days, as they try to move on from Matt Barnes if they decide to move on from Christian Vasquez, it is young starting pitching that you're going to see Chaim Bloom going after. So I hope they get more bites at the apple, so to speak, with more guys that could turn out to be starters in this rotation. That's why I'm all in selling all these guys, with the exception of Verdugo, with the exception of Devers, and with Bogarts. Now, I'm not telling you you don't listen on all of them. You certainly do, but I would be floored if they traded any of those guys, because it seems like those are building block pieces, especially Devers is 22 years old or 23 years old. Verdugo's 24. It feels like those are building block pieces for the foreseeable future. All right, a lot more to get into. I do want to get to the Patriots next. There is one development at camp that is not good. We'll hit it next, I promise, right here on WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To it. This is Brian Barrett on EEI.
I don't think that the plan is for Gunnar Olszewski to be the number two option. I think the plan is that Nikhil has to really take that next step. And like I said, there's been moments where you say, okay, that's what he was billed as and that's what you're getting. And then, you know, later in practice, he just got owned there at the line of scrimmage. Or, you know, even the other day when they did the scrimmage on Thursday, there was a play that broke down. Cam flushed out of the pocket. Nikhil gets open. He throws it to him. It's a touchdown, except for the fact that Nikhil didn't realize his foot was out of bounds, and he was wide open, but his foot was out of bounds, therefore no catch. So they need more. I think the kid works at it. So, you know, maybe it's just we're not seeing that rapid, huge jump in year two yet, but I think they got to hope that it's going to come.
All right, that was Mike Giardi, the NFL Network, on earlier today on OMF with Glenn, and Andy Hart was in. How about that? Kill Harry caught a pass in the end zone, but he didn't realize he was out of bounds. Oh, man. And you heard what
happened in the Chiefs game.
Yes. Well, he was in bounds against the Chiefs. They got screwed over by the officials. But anyway, the biggest thing I take away from that is what Mike Giardi was saying is, okay, yeah, sometimes he has these flash plays, but then it's like, all right, he gets owned by a defensive back at the line of scrimmage. Or what happens in terms of in the end zone, he's out of the end zone when Cam Newton throws him a touchdown pass. So we can only go by what we're hearing from the people that are down there and have the ability to be there each and every day. What we've heard is Nikhil Harry, we all know that he missed 3 days last week because he was dealing with an illness. We all know that Nikhil Harry, based on what everybody's reported, it's not like this is a mixed thing where you have Ryan Hannibal saying Nikhil Harry's great and Mike Giardi saying he's inconsistent and Tommy Curran saying something else. No, everybody's telling you, Ryan Hannibal, all these guys are telling you that basically the guy, Nikhil Harry,
Ryan
is
Ryan Hannaby or whatever.
Hannibal.
I never heard that before. That's good. But everyone is telling you that N'Keal Harry has been inconsistent at Patriots training camp. And you heard what Mike Giardi said. They want N'Keal Harry to be the number two option after Julian Edelman. And based on the fact that this guy was a first-round pick, that's what they were expecting. And the other reason I say that's what they were expecting is very simple. Think about what transpired this past offseason. Okay, NFL draft rolls around. All right, it's the deepest receiving class in the history of the NFL draft, according to Mel Kiper, who's been covering the draft forever. The Patriots draft a receiver? No, they didn't draft a receiver. The Patriots pick up anybody of consequence in the offseason. They picked up like Marquise Lee, and he opted out. Damir Bird, who's like a deep threat. But the point being, they didn't pick up anybody that they expected was going to play a pivotal role on this team. So right now, the second best option at training camp right now for the Patriots has been Gunnar Olszewski, who played Division II and was a cornerback who's converted. I'm not taking anything away from Gunnar. I look at the guy. He's rocked up. If you've seen him, he looks like he got significantly bigger. Mike Giardi explained today to the guys on OMF that he looks like an actual receiver right now. He's running routes much more confidently, but he's not one of these guys that you're expecting to have this great, unbelievable season. It'd be nice if he can contribute, but the guy you need to contribute is N'Keal Harry. Now, he did a Zoom call today, and he was asked about, well, is he feeling any pressure? And he said, I would use excitement more than pressure. I'm really looking forward to getting out there and doing my part to help the team. I just want to do everything I can, and I want to play to the standards I know I can play at. To me, it's more excitement than anything. I'll tell you that this guy is facing a whole lot of pressure, because if he doesn't perform this year, everybody in this town is going to be calling N'Keal Harry a bust. And really, there's more pressure on Belichick than there is anything else, than there is on the player, because Belichick's the one that said, all right, I'm identifying this guy as the only receiver I've ever taken in the first round. Okay. And then we saw A.J. Brown, 65 yards a game last year for the Tennessee Titans. Terry McLaurin for Washington, 65 yards per game. DK Metcalf, Seattle, 56 yards per game. Darius Slayton, 53 yards per game. And you say, well, Brian, he missed a good chunk of the season. I understand that. He was never on the same page with the quarterback. I understand that. I'm not telling you that him not having a very productive rookie season means he can't be a great player. But what is concerning to me is now that he's in year two, he's in training camp, he's not somebody that is jumping off the screen or jumping off the field to everybody where they're like, holy crap, look at N'Keal Harry. He looks like a totally different player, right? Like, I would love to hear the stuff that we're hearing about Damian Harris. Everybody's hyping up Damian Harris. He's looked great in training camp and all that. I would love to hear that stuff about N'Keal Harry, because when you look at Belichick, that would look a lot better for him right now than if the guy he took in the first round was actually performing at that high level.
He just got owned there at the line of scrimmage.
Exactly. So what you wanted to hear, one of the main things you were interested in training camp is, all right, we all knew that Cam Newton was going to win the job, which basically it looks like he's won the job. And there was basically this practice today where Jared Stidham actually practiced going into a game where the quarterback got hurt. What does that tell you? He's the backup. Pretty damn obvious. He practiced going onto the field. They surprised him. Brian Hoyer pretended to hurt his leg, and he had to rush on the field. What does that tell you? Oh, well, if Cam Newton gets hurt, it's probably going to be Jared Stidham that goes into the game. He's the backup. But what we wanted, we knew that Cam Newton was going to be the quarterback. We wanted to hear that Cam Newton was playing well in training camp, which we've heard some of that. But the other thing you wanted to hear, out of all the players on the team, the one guy that I wanted to hear was having a great training camp was N'Keal Harry. That was what I wanted to hear. Oh, N'Keal Harry. And we heard this offseason, worked with the footwork guru, Rashard Whitfield. Oh, he's in much better shape. Blah, blah, blah. He worked out with Cam Newton. But what we're seeing in training camp is, well, he actually hasn't taken that step forward. All right, I'll be back with you tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Taking you up until Red Sox pregame. Thanks to Dylan and Will for producing. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.